This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from WSMI FM 106. We'll join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch from the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Convention in Kansas City for part 2 of the Morning Farm Show. Here are the quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. December wheat ended the day at 645 and a half, up a quarter. March wheat ended at 655 and a half, down a quarter. And May wheat ended at 660, down a penny. December corn yesterday, 429 and three quarter, down 2 3/4. March corn, 440 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. And May corn ended at 448 and three quarter, down 4 1/4. November soybeans yesterday, 1319 and three quarter, up a half. January beans, 1315, up a half. March beans ended at 1298 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 423.30, down 44. January meal, 418.10, down 33. March meal, 408.70, down 9. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 40.96, up 21. January oil, 41.25, up 20. March oil, 41.63, up 18. December oats yesterday, 336 and a quarter, down a quarter. March oats, 318 and three quarter, down a half. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices were mostly lower on Wednesday the 13th afternoon. The large harvest weighed on corn prices today. Soybeans showed minor strength from export sales. And wheat, with better than average crop conditions, wheat has leveled off at existing values. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 lower at 403 to 421. Soybean bids were mixed at 1281 to 1313. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at 408 to 425. Soybean bids were steady to one lower at 1296 to 1313. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 lower at $4 even to 428. Soybean bids were steady to 4 lower at 1275 to 1314. Wheat bids were 1 cent higher at 611 to 649. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 1 to 3 cents at 1332 to 1340. Basis was steadied up 2 at 17 to 25 over the January. Soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 453.30 to 462.30, down 440 to 940, with basis steady to down 5 at 30 to 39 over the December. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were down 3 to 4 cents at 435 to 440, with basis steady to down 1 at 5 to 10 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids mixed at 408 to 420, with basis up 1 to 4 at 10 to 22 under the December. Soybeans ended mostly steady to down 7 at $13 to 1312, with basis steady to down 8 at 13 to 15 under the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 440 to 442. Soybean prices were mixed with quotations at 1331 to 1338. Soft wheat closed 1 cent lower at 656 to 661, and Milo ended the day 3 to 22 cents lower at 450 to 470. Contract bids for producers for January delivery in the northern part of the state, corn was 407 to 425, soybeans for January delivery at 1290 to 1313. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 416 to 428, and soybeans for January delivery at 1304 to 1323. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 422 to 436, and soybeans for January delivery at 1317 to 1336. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys for the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade from yesterday, December hogs 86.37, down 82. February hogs 90.77, down 57. April hogs 92.65, down 67. December cattle yesterday ended at 132.75, up 7. February cattle 134.50, up 22. April cattle 134.82, down 17. November feeder cattle yesterday 164.85, up 20. January feeders 164.65, up 45. March feeders 164.35, up 15. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 13th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 21 cents lower in the range of $78.50 to $84, with a weighted average carcass price of $80.92. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady, with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 60 to 67, the 4 to 5 weights 63 to 70, 5 to 550 weights 66 to 71, and 550 and up 69 to 75. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $56 to $62. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled $21,374, and the opening report from the Greenville auction for today, the 13th, they had receipts of 586 head. Steers and heifers were $1.50 to $2 lower. Holstein steers untested early. And starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 127 to 130. Select and choice steers 125 to 127. Choice heifers were bringing 128 to 129.50. And select heifers were bringing 123 to 127. Now on to the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, Illinois. They had receipts of 475 head. And starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 129 to 133. Select and choice steers were bringing 124 to 128. Choice Holstein steers were bringing 118.25 to 122.50. And choice and select heifers were bringing 120 to 128. Now moving on to the slaughter cows, they had some premiums bringing $95. Boners were 79 to 85. Leans were 69 to 77. And they had some slaughter bulls bringing 87.50 to 90.50. Now moving on to the feeder steers, medium and large number ones, starting with the four weights, they were bringing 155 to 161, five weights 146 to 155, six weights were 144 to 146. They also had some Jersey steers, four weights, and they were bringing $60 to $76. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, starting with the three weights, were bringing 155 to 161, four weights 141 to 157, five weights 126 to 136, and six weights 131 to 133. Feeder bulls, medium and large ones, starting with the three weights, they were 176 to 188, four weights were 157 to 166, five weights were 145 to 154, six weights were 148, and seven weights were 138 to 140. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 130.50, and heifers on a live basis were at 131, and on a dress basis they were 205. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 546 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $92.19, and that was $3.05 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $203.01, and that was 75 cents higher, with select carcasses at $88.49, and that was 5 cents lower. or the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection. Cattle slaughter was estimated at 120,000. That compared to 119,000 last week and 121,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 425,000, and that compared to 438,000 last week and 436,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for November, $4.27, and for December, $4.25. Corn delivered to Scottville for November, $4.27, and for December, $4.17. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for November, $13.07, and for December, $13.27. And wheat delivered to Scottville for November, $6.25. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield and Scottville, $4.27, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $13.07, and once again, wheat at Scottville, $6.25. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
At Carlinville Truck Equipment, they think being considerate and courteous comes with the territory. Courtesy isn't merely being polite. It means honest friendship, honest prices, and honest dealing. When they put their name behind the product or service they provide for you, they do it with pride, not just in the product or service, but in having you as a customer. For your truck or trailer repair needs, call today at 217-854-6706 or visit them online at ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, they deliver what others promise.
What is farming smart? At M&M Service Company, it means making the right choices for your farm. Managing your farming operation doesn't stop at harvest and begin again at planting time. You need to assess each field's fertility needs as you prepare for the next growing season. M&M Service Company is there to manage the fertility of each field and then help you select the right FS Envision corn and FS High Soy soybeans to increase your yield. That's farming smart. And farming smart always begins with FS seed. Call your local crop specialist at M&M Service Company to maximize every acre of your operation.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois for today and warmer, high temperatures in the low 50s. We will have south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, Friday, becoming cloudy, high temperatures in the low 50s. Your extended weather forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy with the chance of a shower Saturday and Sunday, clear and cooler Monday. Lows in the low 40s falling to the mid-20s. High temperatures in the mid-60s falling to the mid-40s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 10 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 28 degrees under mostly clear skies. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the CHS Service Center of Louder, by the Monsanto Southern Illinois team, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. And from the National Association of Farm Broadcasters Convention in Kansas City, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Randy. As we all know, snows have already kind of hit our listening area. Luckily for those who still have crops out in the field, it didn't stick. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about whether traders are taking into consideration the crops that are still out in the field getting snowed on.
Yeah, that's very real in areas where we've expanded corn production in recent years in the northern plains. And I've been asked, is that going to be a factor for traders? And I would argue, no, I don't think it will be. It would be if we were looking at tight stocks going into the coming year, but with surplus stocks expected on corn to be around 2 billion bushels, and most of the soybeans already harvested, the impact is considered by the trade to be minimal and not really a factor. They're starting to focus more on South American weather, which for the most part is supportive yet at this point. We are seeing some moisture deficits build in Brazil, but they get enough, they get more than enough rain when they get normal rainfall, so you can have below normal rain and still get adequate rainfall, and so far that's been the story.
So while the weather might be upsetting for some farmers, traders have already moved on.
Exactly right. That doesn't give much comfort if you're one of those whose corn is being hit by winds and snow, but it unfortunately is a reality of the marketplace.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Farmers only have control over so many things when it comes to their crops. On the list of things not entirely in their control right after weather is soil type. I spoke with University of Illinois Professor Ken Olson about different methods farmers have tried utilizing to change their soil environment, including laying tile.
First problem with adding tile drainage is if there never was tile or drainage in a field, then you normally have to mitigate it by creating a wetland or somewhere else. And we get, agriculture gets an exemption if they had drained it before, then they're allowed to fix the drainage system. So that's something that happens on the poorer drain soils. But some of the ones in the area around Litchfield have a little high clay content, which makes it hard to drain, or they're fairly acid, or in some cases they're actually high pH, but it's because of sodium. So there's some things that really can't easily be changed. And Litchfield's actually has a farmer that even tried to deep plow it to about 30 inches, and it still left the clay pan under it, so the drainage didn't, it worked better, but it didn't drain downward. It tended to drain laterally. I remember him taking a soil water conservation class, and he experimented with the deep plow from Canada. It was one bottom, and it could plow 30 to 36 inches, which is a little hard to flip and pull.
I can imagine that there would be some
hugging. But he tried.
So what do you think would be one of the best practices that farmers in this area could try to implement to increase yields? You said that they have to combat pH levels because of sodium sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes they try to deal with that with adding calcium sulfate or gypsum to put sodium on the exchange instead of put calcium on the exchange instead of sodium. Sodium's monovalent, and it tends to do some unfavorable things to soil. And we worry if there's too much sodium in it. So that would be one treatment that's used for those particular ones. Some of the clay pan soils, we've had people even try to disturb them deeper, but we haven't really improved their productivity as a consequence. The timber soils tend to be on sloping sites, and those they sometimes address with no-till practices and to cut down the erosion and loss of topsoil. Sometimes they're just maintaining what they have, but others feel that no-till systems can actually restore some of the productivity level that was lost with past erosion.
So it really depends on where you are and what type of soil you have for what will work best for you. Again, that was Ken Olson, soils professor at the University of Illinois. Today, I am in Kansas City for the National NAFB Convention. We will kick off our big event here at 7, so be sure to tune in for this afternoon's farm show, where we'll have the latest news from various ag associations and companies. That's all for this morning's farm show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.